So let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to read only one scripture, which is going to be verse 1, and then we'll move along from there. But the heart of what we're going to talk about tonight can be found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And it says it this way: this is why it is so crucial that we be all the more engaged and attentive to the truths that we have heard, so that we do not drift off course. The Message says it this way: it is crucial to keep a firm grip on what we've heard that is true. Denying reality doesn't mean that you're walking by faith. Walking by faith is bringing into existence the promise which far outweighs the evidence and allowing it to become your standard for living. People who know who they are own it. People who know what they have show it. I have a question to ask you tonight. Are you being possessed or are you possessing? Church, we should always be increasing. We should always be growing in the things of the Lord. We should always be going from glory to glory, not story to story. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes there are people in our lives that we pass, whether it's a day-to-day thing or just every now and then. But when you come across somebody, they always have a story to tell, but they don't have the lifestyle to back it up. Some people always have a wish. I wish, I wish, I wish. But they don't ever have the boldness to just step out and become that. So we're called to go from glory to glory, not story to story. Amen? I heard Brother Copeland say, don't get so busy enjoying today's victory that tomorrow ends up in defeat. Have you ever seen the many videos of what seems like a runner winning his or her race and ends up celebrating too soon? Well, they end up being blindsided by the runner coming up from behind them who ends up taking it all. That's what it looks like when a believer doesn't know their place. Tonight, we're going to look at our place in faith. We've heard Pastor tell us that we cannot live off the memory of an old baked potato. Today, I tell you, in the same way, we cannot live our lives based on yesterday's headlines, last year's trending news, or today's socialist media. As a matter of fact, Acts 17:28 says that in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. The Passion says that's how we function. The first place of our faith that needs to be in is in the Word of God. You have to stay focused on the Word of God. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Something I teach our kids and our youth is that what goes in will come out. What we're full of shows. Wherever the ears go, the eyes follow. Wherever the eyes follow, the body will go. Where are you going today? The more connected to the Word you are, the more you'll have chopping down any weeds that try to arise. The more Word you have, the more you'll become. The more connected to the Word that you are, the more help you're going to have. In Matthew 9, Jesus asked the blind man this question: do you really believe that you can be healed? And they answered him, "Yes, Master, we believe." Jesus said to them, "Then become what you believe." Too many believers are disappointed in the outcome of our nation, the outcome that our nation is facing, simply because they believe the report of the world rather than the spoken word of the Lord. They've allowed the world's sayings to become louder than what God is doing. If you really believe what God is saying is what He's doing, then become what you believe. Get rid of the down and out mentality. Don't allow others to bring fear into your heart. Shut the door on the devil and open up God's mighty hand of deliverance. We must become a people who really believes in what our Father has said to us, about us, and over us. Even the devil makes preparations for what God says he'll do. It's the enemy who's supposed to be scattered, not us. The second thing is abide in truth. The more you know, the more you'll go. Why? Because what you didn't know or don't know can hold you back. All of your senses could be screaming at you. But if you know deep down your purpose, your mission, your belief, you'll surpass those feelings and get on over into faith. Faith will do it anyway. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. May your hunger and thirst be for righteousness, be for the kingdom, and the meal that's set before you on the king's table. May your hands that are set to do the will of your Father prosper, make better, enrich the area that they are put forth to. May the enemy's cousins named doubt, lack, fear, and loss rear their ugly heads. May you rise up in the authority of the name of Jesus that has been given to you and put the devil on the run. You're not running from hell. Hell is running from you. I want to tell you today that when you abide in truth, truth abides in you. You've been given Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth. It's up to you to access him. It's up to you to give him place in your life. Not in some areas, but in every area, in every way. You see, Holy Spirit is a baseball coach. He's waiting to signal you to your next base on the field that you're on. You can ignore him or you can trust him. We have the advantage with Holy Spirit working in us and for us. But what if I can't see what's ahead, you ask? He can. What if I can't see where the ball went, where my seed went, what unseen things are happening right now? Guess what? He can. It's up to you to abide or subside. And guess what? I'm going to abide. To subside is to weaken, give up, let up, fade, dwindle, and even lessen. To abide is to continue, remain, hold on, persist, and stand. With what faith life do you want? I'm going to abide. In working on this with the Lord, I'm reminded of playing softball and having a coach. In most cases of every year of my life, my dad was my coach. And so I can see this so clearly. But when you get up to bat, you already know who's on the field, what their strengths are, where you're going to hit the ball, where it could possibly go, and who definitely to stay away from. You don't want the ball to end up over there where Teresa's at, because she's going to catch it and throw you out at home base. Sorry, name came out from the past. Here's the thing. When you're up to that plate, you're looking at that first base coach. You're not looking at third base because you're not over there yet. You're not looking out at the field to see where you want to hit it, even though the games show you that, because you've already done it in the dugout. So when you get up there, your eyes are on that coach, and that coach is telling you, go for it. Go for it. You already know, so go for it. You get up there. That pitch comes. You let that first pitch roll by. Why? Because you're trying to see that flow. You're trying to see the flow. You're trying to see exactly how that person's going to throw. And then you take the next one if you want it. And when you hit that ball, you make that connection, you take off running. You drop the bat and you run. And while you're running, your eyes are not on that base. Your eyes are on your coach. Why? Because you've been this road before and you know exactly where that base is and what foot is going to land on it to bring you in to the corner to take you on to the next one. And when your coach tells you, go for it, go, go, you're not going to slow down. You're going to speed up and you're going to go even faster. Why? Because you're anticipating now. I've got that second base coming. You don't know where that ball is out there. You can hear people yelling and shouting and all the distractions coming at you, but you can still hear that first baseman coach telling you, run, run until you get to the second base. And then you're on your way to the third base. And when you get to that third base, your coach is already on the other side of it. And he's there looking at everything that's going on around you. He can also hear everybody yelling at you, but if you would just tune in to his voice, because sometimes it gets cloudy, sometimes you're breathing a little bit too hard, sometimes you're losing track of what's going on, and you're hoping you can make it to the next one, but if you would just keep your eyes and your ears alert, he'll tell you, come on, come on, go for it, go for it. And you're running and you're there. And then he tells you, go all in, go all in. And you're like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? I can keep running. And he's like, go for it, go for it. Why? Because he sees it, even though you can't. And so you keep running and you keep going for it. Even if you pass out on the home plate, you made it. You're there. And you get to celebrate the victory. That's our place in faith, is just to get in it and keep our eyes and ears alert. He'll lead you every step of the way. If you have the questions, wait for the answer. You hit the ball, now let your coach tell you what to do with it. Amen. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. We're going all the way. Amen. Anybody want to go with me? Amen. Hallelujah. And because we're going to go all the way, we're going to walk this thing out. We're going to see what we've been saying. We're going to have to get rid of the weight, the baggage, the blessing blockers. And sometimes you're going to have to love people from afar. You may need to change the place you're in, but continue to keep your position. Now, sometimes there can be a service where things are just going and rolling in the Holy Ghost, and we're just partying in here with Jesus. But something happens, and it's a distraction. A distraction happens to come and detour us. But pastors, our shepherd says, hold your place. Right? Holy Ghost is still going. Plan is still rolling. We're still in motion. Hold your place. Hold your position where you're at. And I'm here to tell us tonight, hold your position. Stand your ground. Some of you need to turn off the television. If you can't handle the facts, speak the truth. If you don't like what you're hearing, speak truth. We're to speak truth anyway. We're going to go ahead and do it, right? But speak the truth. Don't speak what your emotions are telling you and bubbling up out of you. Speak the truth. Let me give you an easy example of that. Today, I was listening to a conservative broadcasting news station. And I heard someone say today, victory is never sure. Well, you know, the victory is never sure. And I said immediately, it is for us. And just went about putting on my mascara and everything. It is for us. I don't know about you, but it is for me. Right? It's as easy as that. Whatever is in you is going to come out of you. If all you're doing is worrying and fretting, and not just about what happened today or what's happening in our nation. I'm talking about the bills. I'm talking about the marriage. I'm talking about the three kids. Oh, sorry. That was for me. I'm talking about life. Whatever is in you, when you are squeezed, when the pressure comes on, it's going to come out of you. So if you don't like the facts, speak the truth. Close the door on a relationship that's taking life from you rather than strengthening you. I heard Rick Renner say the other day that he had to make a decision regarding that, regarding a business partner one day. And it was this. He knew if this guy walked into a room within a certain amount of minutes, they would be after it. They would get into heated arguments and he would just feel like he lost his salvation. And he said, it came time where the Holy Spirit told me, Rick, you're going to have to time yourself. You're going to have to give yourself a time limit here. And he didn't really know what that meant, but he figured it out down the road. And it was, I knew in 3 minutes, no more than 3 minutes, that guy was going to, what do we say? Like get under my skin, right? The Tabasco sauce going to start rolling up. So he started timing himself. He didn't distance himself with this certain person, but he timed himself. After 3 minutes, he knew, get out. Just get out. Don't even try. Just get out. And that was what he had to do. I had another person say that in a business relationship that there came time where he'd always get into it through emails with somebody that he was working with. And there was never going to be a solution because all that guy wanted to do was just argue with him. He had to be right for everything. And so it got to the point where that guy figured out, man, we argue a lot. So anytime an email came up, that guy would just write him back and say, processing. He didn't have to respond with what he was thinking, what he was feeling, because sometimes immediately we want to just like, blah, you know, let it all out. But that guy figured it out for himself, processing. Maybe he was at home thinking, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth my peace. It's not worth my marriage. It's not worth my career. Processing. What I'm about to say, is it going to build up our nation or tear it down? What I'm about to say, is it going to build up our church or tear it down? What I'm about to say, you know what I'm saying? What is in you will come out. Do you want to hang around with spectators with an opinion or witnesses who know the truth? Have you noticed that there's a certain theme here? It's truth, abiding in truth. If it doesn't line up with God's word, bring it into submission. Kick it out. Or shut the door on it. If it does, pull it in because it belongs to you. Pastor said Sunday morning that the safest place to be is in the will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. If you don't know what the will of God is for your life, find out and stay there. The same with what is coming at you. If the report doesn't line up with the promise, bring that report into submission. I heard someone once say, we're not waiting on the doctor's report to tell us what we have. The report should be agreeing with what we know. It's not, I'm believing for a good report. It's, I already have the report. This is what I believe to be true. Let's say you're waiting on the physical victory. When is it time to stop believing? When you've got the victory in your hand. When the outside fruit has lined up with the spiritual fruit. Even then, you're always going to go from victory to victory. What's the next thing you're going to believe God for? Who else can you pray for? And where else can God send you to minister good news? And the last thing I want to talk to you about is this. Number three, faith has to have corresponding action. We must give feet to what we believe. You can say and say and say and slay all day long. What does the shirt say? Wake, slay, pray, right? Wake, slay, pray. Do. That's what I want to add after that. Do something. You have to add feet to your faith. Now, we usually bring up in marriage, right? If Hector and I are married, HD all my life for 16 years has just told me, I love you, 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 I love you. Oh, girl, you know I love you. Boo, you know I love you too, but where's the get? You know, where's this? Where's that? You kind of have to spice things up, right? You don't want to hear, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but yet he doesn't show affection to you. It's just words coming out of an empty mouth. When we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and just leave it all up to God, it's empty chatter coming out of our mouth. We have to wait, listen to him, and he'll tell us what the next step is. All right, girl, now this is what I need you to do. I'll do the rest, but I just need you to do this part. And you do it, and you walk it out, and you see the victory. Amen? Obey without hesitation. Obey without hesitation. The other day I asked Jessie Nicole, who's been super busy at school and work and everything, but she has a job at home. Get the dishes done. Load the dishes up. Put them in there. She don't have Facebook, so she won't be seeing this later. So she's like, okay, Mom. And I can see her tired and I'm sleepy. I want to go, you know, take a shower, go to bed, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, girl, get in there and get those dishes done. And she does the same thing. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm like, no, you're not. You can go to bed at 11 o'clock. Them dishes going to get done though. Why? Because I told her to. I just need you to get the dishes done. Just go in there and get them done. It's easy. I mean, y'all got a machine for crying out loud. Just put them in there. And I went up to her and I can see her hanging out, listening to her music, eating a brownie or something. I said, hey, girl, you still delayed obedience is disobedience. You're still not doing what I asked you to do. That was Brother Tommy, by the way. And she looks at me And she just smiles and bats those beautiful big brown eyes. But I said, Jesse, I know you're going to get them done, because the girl will never go to bed without doing something I've asked her to do, praise God, even if it is at midnight. She'll get it done. But I'm teaching her to do it when I ask her to do it. And so when I said those words, she went, okay. And she went and got it done. Obey without hesitation. Why? You may not have it all. You may not know it all, but he does. And all he needs is feet to your faith. That's all he needs. Moses went and did. He put action to what he heard. Abram went and did. Ruth went and did. Rahab went and did. The widow at Zarephath went and did. Joshua and Caleb, John the Baptist went and did. Obey without hesitation. Jesus went and did and is still doing. Amen. Let our names be part of the ones who went and did, who heard and received, who never backed down from our assignments, who saw every desire of our hearts fulfilled. Let us be the ones who gave God every desire of our hearts to fulfill. Let us be the one who gives him a place to abide in the liberty of fulfilling what he said he was going to do. And I want to close with this. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So I'm going to break this down to you this way. The first thing I want to show you is the word hold fast. Hold fast in the Greek is katecho. It's two words, kata and echo. Kata means something coming down, something coming towards you, at you. It's coming down. And echo means something that you embrace. You're going to put all your weight on it. You're going to sit on it. You're not going to let it out of your sight. So it says it this way. Hold fast to your confession of faith, what you've been believing God for, what you've heard straight from the throne of heaven, what you have been standing for maybe 3 months, maybe 1 week, maybe 9 years, maybe 15, 14, however long, you hold fast to it. You put all your weight on that one word. You wrap yourself around it. You envelop yourself on it, and you take God at his word. You don't let it go. Have y'all really ever tried taking candy from a baby? It's no joke. Like, they will not let it go. They won't let it go, okay? Have you ever tried taking somebody else's fishing spot from a girl? Oh, sorry. From a grown man? That ain't fun. Let us not do that with God's promises. Let us not just say, oh, here, you can have it. Here, you can take that. It's yours. No, not my promise. So in Romans 8, we're shown the same word, katecho, but in the opposite sense. It tells us this way, that there are those who are doing the same thing, holding fast, but suppressing the truth, hiding righteousness from us, from believers. And I said, wow, Lord, that sounds very familiar. They're holding the lid down so tight on a jar of truth and righteousness that they are not wanting us to get a hold of. They're covering truth from you. We are to do the same thing with the promises of God in our lives, for our families, for our church, and for our nation. We can't let go of truth. You can't. Can you imagine the enemy out there right now wrapping his arms around truth so tightly, taking all of righteousness and justice and putting it in a lid and sitting on it as tight as he can? Like that pickle jar that you're like trying to open. You're like, come on, man, I really want this buttered pickle. And then guess what? You get the idea to go ahead and bang it a little bit and pray in the Holy Ghost over it sometimes. And bing, that thing pops right off. Because you're determined to have that pickle. I know that's like a weak illustration, but you get the picture. You can unscrew that lid. You can loosen it. Sometimes all it needs is an extra pop of something of Holy Ghost to get that thing open. Sometimes all you need is another word from the Lord. Sometimes all you need is just to lay aside all bitterness and anger and strife away from you and then allow the Holy Ghost to move in for you. The same thing. The enemy is working out the same thing that the believers are. But you know what? We win, not him. Amen. So hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. And then confession. Confession is homologion. It's two words also. Homo means same, and the logion is words. This is a picture of agreement. It's bringing yourself into agreement with what God has already said. It's our confession that comes into alignment with what he's saying. You can either agree with it or disagree. In other words, you can take it or leave it. But this is what I'm declaring over your life. And if you want it, you can have it. Some people won't ever get healed because they don't want it. They like where they're at. Some people won't ever see the mansion side of living because they're comfortable with what they have. So he's saying you can take it or you can leave it. You can be healed today or you can be healed tomorrow. Or you can just wait till whenever you want to be healed, but I got it right now. You take it right now. How do we take it? Our confession has to line up with what he's saying. It's the same as you and God saying at the same time the same thing. Have you ever finished someone else's sentence? Picture it like that. And you're like, oh, we finished each other's sentences. Not sandwiches for Tangled fans. But you finish each other's sentences. That's like that sweet love with Jesus. And you're like, yeah, that's my girl. Why? Because it's like you repeating after what your mom and dad has told you when you were an infant. Mama, Dada, all that joy that came to their heart when they heard those first words. Can you imagine what the Father feels when he hears us saying the exact same things that he's saying? We're speaking his love language. God's way is much better. So the joy of the believer is the joy of answered prayer. We're going to see victory right before our very eyes. Every hidden thing is being uncovered. And every heart is going to be turned towards the Father, crying out, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. So tonight, you stay focused. Stay focused on the word. You abide in truth. You put feet to your faith, and you don't let it go. Amen.